This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Jonathan Williams, Director of the Tax and Fiscal Policy Task Force at the American Legislative Exchange Council here in Washington. Along with fellow economists Art Laffer and Stephen Moore, Jonathan is author of the new ALEC publication and report, Rich States, Poor States. It looks at how the different states have gone about trying to tackle the more difficult economic times as the nation as a whole and Congress try to figure out the right course ahead as well. And Jonathan, thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be back with you, Greg. I always enjoy it.
Thank you very much. Well, the data that you put together in this report comes to a pretty stark conclusion, is that there's a clear reason why some states have done very, very poorly in the last few years, and while others have survived this economic downturn very well. What's the reason?
Well, that's right. And I think that the theme of our third edition of Rich States, Poor States is that really points out the consequences of liberalism in our state capitals today. We take a special focus at California, Michigan, New Jersey, and New York, and Maryland for that matter. And we really see these states as really have been laboratories of liberalism over the last several decades. And I think that we're really starting to see those consequences as these states are really leading the nation when it comes to job losses and outflow of people. People are voting with their feet, and they always do, but they're voting against these liberal states in higher numbers than ever before. I mean, Karl Rove just pointed this fact out, but for the first time since the census of 1850, once the 2010 census is complete, California will most likely not gain a congressional seat for the first time in state history. And so, this has very practical consequences for the states. And, these states are driving their most successful out. And it's unfortunate to see. I'm a former resident of the state of Michigan. And on the cover of this year's book, we have a picture of downtown Detroit, which has shrunk by 50% in the last generation. Once was a booming industrial town, obviously, with the auto industry, and now is a symbolism of what liberalism can do to a state or a city in this case.
Well, Jonathan, as a fellow Michigan native, I can definitely attest to that. But as you mentioned in the report and in the executive summary here, these states that you talk about having this precipitous decline were thriving not all that long ago. So what were they doing right then that they're not doing now?
Well, let's take a look at New Jersey, for instance. In 1965, New Jersey was one of the fastest growing states in the country. It was industrial business was thriving. It was a suburb of New York City where people were doing well, wealthy area. And consequently, it did not have an income tax nor a sales tax in 1965. But today, over time, we've seen both of those taxes creep in because government kept spending beyond its means and government grew, and so then they created both of these taxes, and now they've raised them year over year. And we point out in the book how in New Jersey they've never really found a tax increase they haven't liked in the last decade under John Corzine, and it's become now one of the highest tax states in the nation, both on income and sales. And so because of the growth of government and tax increases, New Jersey has become a state that is really a has-been state that people say they're from. Like we say we're from Michigan. People aren't going to New Jersey anymore. It's a state that's brand is really broken, and that's really a theme of Rich States, Poor States, is that states need to act like brands, and the Michigan, California, New Jersey, New York brands are broken, and people are going to states like Texas and Florida and Colorado and Arizona and states that are attractive for business, is that, states don't make policy choices in a vacuum. As soon as they change their policies, it immediately impacts how they compete versus their neighbors.
We're talking with Jonathan Williams of the American Legislative Exchange Council. The report is entitled Rich States, Poor States. And Jonathan, you and your colleagues here spend an entire chapter in this report specifically on Missouri, making the case that a state income tax is a really bad idea. Explain why.
Well, absolutely. As I mentioned with New Jersey, we take a look back at the 11 states that have enacted income taxes over the last 40 years, and the results are just striking. You take a look at these states before income taxes and then after income taxes, and really income taxes are really an opiate of state government. Once the government is addicted to the revenue of income tax, it just becomes blown out of proportion and is just a driver for big government. We just need to look at the United States government to prove that fact. Before the income tax and the 16th Amendment here, we were a very relatively small government. Now, of course, that's fueled the growth of big government. But from an economics perspective for the states, The income tax is one of the most damaging taxes that a state can levy, and that's why we're so excited about the Missouri proposal made possible by a lot of our ALEC members out in Missouri, pursuing a constitutional amendment to eliminate both the corporate and personal income tax and go to a consumption tax for the state. And we really feel that this is a jobs bill. It's going to create jobs, it's going to create more wealth, and it's going to turn Missouri into a state that people want to invest in.
Talk a little bit more about why you believe a consumption tax is a smarter way to go, because you talk about how Missouri should follow the lead of Tennessee, which doesn't have a state income tax, but their sales tax is quite a bit higher than most states.
Well, that's right. We look at the 9 states without income taxes today and compare those 9 states with the top income tax states, the Californias, the New Yorks, New Jerseys of the world. And what we find is over the past decade is that the job growth, the income growth, the population growth is so much greater in the states that can avoid an income tax. It's just the fact that people do not work to pay taxes. They work for after-tax income. They work to make themselves better off, to build a more prosperous future for them and their families. And income tax is a big inhibitor of that. And if we can go to a consumption tax that does not penalize work and savings, that's going to have tremendous economic benefits for the states. And I think it's very well showcased in the states that have avoided an income tax. They're prospering while the other states are headed in the wrong direction.
Just about 90 seconds left here, Jonathan. You also spend a chapter in this report looking at what you see as the detrimental effect of what Washington is doing on these states. And you kind of rip apart the notion that when Congress passes a stimulus package or other legislation that gives money to states that are dealing with red ink, it would seem to be a good thing, but really is actually making the problem worse. Explain.
Well, it sure is. A lot of people have lauded the stimulus and the bailout of the states as manna from heaven to solve budget shortfalls. But we really think this is another case where Congress is caught to do something disease, where they're trying to take care of a problem, but in fact they're making it worse, because we know that a dollar has never flown outside of Washington, D.C. without 1,000 strings attached to it. And these strings are going to have extreme consequences on the future of state budgets, and really tying the hands of our state legislators and making responsible cuts now, as many areas of the budget are off limits. And as you remember with the battle with the Obama administration, they were not allowing states to cut debt, but in fact the stimulus program is incentivizing states to increase spending, raise taxes, and create new debt, which is exactly what they don't need to do right now.
Real quickly before we let you go, Jonathan, where can folks find a copy of this report online, and what else will they find in it?
Well, they can go to our website, which is alec.org, and they can, in fact, download the entire version of Rich States, Poor States for free, and they'll be able to see all of our state-by-state comparisons and how we rank the states in economic outlook this year. They'll be able to check out what not to do in the states when it comes to the New York, New Jersey, Michigan chapter, and they'll also be able to see the areas critical of the stimulus project. So we certainly encourage everyone to visit alec.org.
Very good. Jonathan, thank you so much for your time today.
Always a pleasure.
Jonathan Williams is Director of the Tax and Fiscal Policy Task Force at the American Legislative Exchange Council. Again, the website alec.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.